Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. Joel, I want to start off by looking at the U.S. equity markets, but not necessarily in terms of price, more in terms of what is driving these markets, especially on Monday. It seemed like there are or were a couple news events that helped push those markets significantly higher. One being the Fed or Jerome Powell talking on 60 Minutes and more or less just saying, hey, they have tools available to them and they will continue to use them, which everybody has just portrayed as more money printing. But there's also that news on the Moderna vaccine that, hey, it's a small test trial, but there was some positive news. It really just goes to show that the market, traders in general, are looking for good news, and when they get any sniff of anything positive, they rush into these markets. Share with us your thoughts on what truly is driving these markets.
It was a triple whammy on Sunday. You put it in, really, you broke it down correctly. What kind of caught me off guard was the way the market reacted to Powell on Wednesday, right? We got pounded and we went down Wednesday. We continued lowering on Thursday, got a little pop on Thursday, little dip on Friday, then it was off to the races. And so when I didn't take home any short-term long positions, because, you know, over the weekend, right, anything could happen. And then really he said the same thing that he did on Wednesday on 60 Minutes, and it was interpreted totally differently by the street. And they took off. They, you know, we talk about the lower liquidity markets at night and the S&P 500 futures. You know, if you're a big boy or a group of big boys and you want to move it, you have the liquidity to move in one direction. And they got the ball rolling right at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday. Momentum continued Sunday night. Boom, off the open, the algorithms kicked in. And then you had, you know, two other factors. One factor that is weighing on the market has been the oil sector, with crude basically going negative on that May expiration. Been a big drag on oil stocks, which, you know, at one point had been a bigger part of the percentage of the S&P 500, smaller of late with the decline in prices, but boom. So you get to buy the dippers in the oil, and then finally everyone wants a vaccine. So it was a limited trial with Moderna, but hey, that's what the street, it's just the buy the dip, the buy everything mentality. We're going to get through this 20-25% unemployment, and no problem. So right there, you know, was your perfect storm. As far as earnings season goes, you know, this is, you know, the companies can, you know, throw out the baby with the bathwater. Give whatever bad news, no guidance, boom. And another thing to keep an ear to is that the Q1 really only encompassed a couple weeks of really the stay-at-home policies and the lockdowns. So for most of Q1, it was business as usual.
So you even mentioned that there has been bad news. Really, every economic data point that's come out around the world has been bad, but it hasn't mattered for these markets. So again, how are traders so able right now to ignore the bad data, even though they know that it's coming, and just continue to push these things higher?
Because it's computers and it's not human beings.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of money out there too, right? So
yeah, and they're programmed to buy. The market is rigged to the upside. And the, you know, the algorithms are, you know, when I had my most successful days as a day trader, you know, boom, I love the down markets, because in a down market, you know, people aren't as willing to step up to the plate to buy, right? They sell, there's fear. So there was a lot of institutional, a lot of mental selling going on during that, right? Like, I got to get out. I got to lighten up, okay? But the way that we came back, that wasn't, I mean, it was some human buying, but it was more just algorithms and just getting the ball rolling. After, and then the money manager like, oh, what the heck? What did I sell? I'm way underperforming the index. So now when you get these dips, the managers that did lighten up, they got to get back in the market because they went on the sidelines. So it's really the combination of those factors. But really, because I'm a human being, and I was selling in February and March a little bit early, and sure, I was buying on the way back up, but the pace and the rebound and the recovery has far surpassed my expectations.
Now, what about different sectors? Obviously, the tech stocks continue to lead the way, continue to do very well. But on Monday, we started to see some of the lagging sectors, like small caps, get a bounce. Do you see an opportunity in some of these lagging sectors?
You know, on Monday, I mean, you mentioned the small caps, but you know what they were buying? They're buying beaten up airline stocks and beaten cruise line stocks and hotel stocks and restaurant stocks and the junk, basically that was beat up on the way down. So Disney up $7 yesterday with their parks being idled. To me, It makes absolutely no economic sense with what's going on, the cash burn in some of these airlines and some of these companies. But I've been around long enough to markets that what I think really doesn't mean anything. And, you get the rebound and Carnival. Oh, everyone's going to be going back on cruises again, right? So you got people buying the cruise line stocks. Now, Carnival's only up 4 cents today. RCL, Royal Caribbean, that's only up 3 cents today. American Airlines, that's up 11 cents today. So I will say it's a little bit concerning that you didn't get follow through on these stocks. But considering the magnitude of the move that they had yesterday, digestion or consolidation is not a bad thing. At least they're not going right back down.
Yeah, fair enough. It's interesting to see, though, just how broadly that money landed on Monday. And it didn't actually fly right out of it on Tuesday. Let's also talk about Walmart's earnings, too, because that was one of the headline or larger companies that was reporting. What was your takeaway from their earnings report?
It was no surprise, right, that they beat Walmart, very popular stock, stalled a little bit in 15, but basically doubled 2016 through 2020. A very popular shopping destination for a lot of people pre-COVID. So with the crisis, those people not only, continued their regular spending habits, but they spent more. And then you had a whole different segment of the population that eats at McDonald's and eats out all the time. They're like, uh-oh, it's not so easy to do that. So those companies those individuals or families were forced to go to Walmart, buy stuff to cook, make your own burgers. Don't get a quarter pounder and cheese and large fries for $7. So it enforced new spending habits on a big percentage of the population. And you had a big move in that, a big, big, move off the low, got to 102. And then they juiced it on the earnings. They only beat by a penny, but they had like a $4 billion revenue beat. So the algos ran with that. They took it to a new all-time high in the pre-market trading. But as you see in stocks that have had big runs into reports, they really got to blow it away. They didn't blow away the EPS. Opened right near its high for the session, opened 131.75, ticked 131.99, probably had a huge institutional sell order there at 132 that the algos jumped in front of. And it's just been a slow leak all day. It's now down $1.54. So a bad performance. It's kind of the sell the news scenario for your long-term investors in Walmart. I would just see how it shakes out today, where it closes today, and whether or not, there were just people dumping it today and the algo's got a hold of it on the short side, or if it's going to regain momentum, because it's a bad day. When you trade 132 and you trade under 126, that's not a good sign. But see if it can hold the day in two in wherever it closes at today and regain its momentum. So sell the news in Walmart.
All right. Let's wrap it up with a quick comment on precious metals, because gold, silver, gold and silver stocks as well continue to show a lot of strength. Do you think that it's due for a pullback? Is this something to just keep on piling onto as it moves higher? How are you viewing that sector?
When we would discuss this before we came on the air, I got in a little bit early here in February in the GDX and sat through that precipitous fall along with the markets. You know, it's a funny thing with these gold miners and the gold stocks. Gold, you know, is a little bit more stable. These gold miners, you know, they have a lot of leverage. So a lot of the selling that you saw in those stocks in February and March, that was just tied to them, you know, over leverage and, you know, maybe getting some, you know, capital calls and whatnot. Then other investors that were getting margin calls, you know, they had to sell something. So I'm going to sell this. So as long as there's not like a credit crunch that could put some pressures on the gold, you know, the balance sheet, path of least resistance is higher. Still haven't taken out the high of the move. It seems like every time it gets near 1700, it pops, you know, gets a nice rally. I think we got under 1700 last week. So it's just been consolidating between 1700 and just under 1800 for a long time. And consolidation in an uptrend, you know, usually means a resumption of the uptrend. Once you break out above 17, I believe the high of the move was like 1785. And before I go here, Corey, I just want to mention one thing to your listeners. If any of you enjoy my content, I've been working with a new platform called HotMike. Have you ever heard of it?
You and I have talked about it, but yes, it is interesting sounding.
Yeah, it is. It basically, it's an alternative for people that don't want to listen to the regular sportscasters on TV, your Jack Box and your Al Michaels and your Troy Aikmans. And so the platform was originally created for people to comment on sporting events. Since there's no sporting events, they've reached out to financial broadcasters such as myself. So if you like my content and the pre-market show is too early for you from 8 to 9 a.m. Eastern, you can catch me on Hot Mic from 9 to 9:30 a.m. That's Eastern Standard Time. I comment on what they're talking about on CNBC. I throw my own spin in. We have a live chat. You can go to hotmic.io, and if you put in Joel, whether it's capital or not, Joel317, you can find my platform, and I'd love for some of your listeners to hop in there, 9 o'clock. It's still 6 o'clock out, right? 6 o'clock out there in Vancouver, but I sure would like you guys to join me there and on Hot Mic as well as at the pre-market show. And then finally, for another shameless plug, I've been doing a 340 show with my producer, Spencer Israel, on premarket.benzinga.com and Benzinga YouTube. And, you know, it started out because it just was so, the markets were just so crazy in the last half hour. It was interesting to cover, but we got a lot of good feedback on it. So you can catch me on that 3:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right, Joel, appreciate your time. I will post a link to that Hot Mic website, and I will also note that username that people can follow you on. Joel, great chatting with you. Thanks for your time today. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Corey. Talk to you next week.